other people if you're spiritually empty. Who's been downtown Toronto recently? Anybody? Wow, loads of people. That's weird. So you guys know walking downtown Toronto, depending on where you are, sometimes you'll see like a complete down and outer, like somebody who... It is creepy. Yeah, that's fine for it to be creepy. But you guys, who's ever seen a complete down and outer on the streets of Toronto? A down and outer, like a homeless person, somebody who's got nothing, basically. Yeah? If you're spiritually empty, we're called to have compassion on those people. When everybody else walks past, isn't that what happens? You see somebody on the streets of Toronto and they're complete down and out. What do most people do? Ignore them. They don't just walk by. They like pretend they're not there, don't they? So as Christians, you're called to be different. You guys are called to be different. Instead of walking by them, you guys are the ones who are called to go and buy them a Tim Hortons and bring it to them. Okay? But you will be unable to do that if you're spiritually empty. You'll be unable to look at somebody who's in need and feel love and compassion for them if you don't have the love of God inside you. So see all the different things which busyness leads to. See, are you guys starting to get how busyness is really quite a dangerous thing? Now we're moving from terribly depressing part of the sermon to more uplifting. Okay, I have an equation for you guys to see if this makes sense. Who knows what an equation is? Most of you guys? Yeah, so it's basically just an equation. Don't know how else to describe it. Here's an equation for you. Normal 42, what does that mean? Let me just check that I'm going to get this right. Normal equals right. That's basically my equation. And that is exactly the rule by which your high schools run by and the world runs by. Normal, so whatever is normal and commonplace has become what is right and accepted. Okay, I want somebody to repeat to me what I just said. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that many were not listening. Kennedy, what is normal is right. Give me something which is normal in your high school. Swearing. So, okay, swearing and drugs. Stop. There's two really good examples. Put your hand up if you know somebody whose swearing isn't really all that big a deal. Like it's like... Okay, put your hand up if you actually think swearing is quite a big deal and it's not okay. So what is normal in your high school has changed people's opinion of something to think it's okay. You get that? Does that make sense? Normal equals right? Okay. I'm going to give you guys some examples. Okay, who thinks... See how cynical you guys are. What do you think is normal in Scotland? In high school?
Beer.
What? Beer? Yes. He actually got it right. Whoa, that was a complete explosion of... I should talk about Scotland more often. We've already got the answer, so... Wow, need to be more careful when I mention Scotland. So, guys, shh. Speak to the person next to you and say shh. Even that's loud. Okay, Ernesto gave the correct answer. Beer. Now that's kind of funny, but it's kind of not funny. Okay, so underage drinking is one of Scotland's biggest problems. If you get to the age of 16 in high school and you're not regularly drinking far too much, then you're different from everybody else. So, people have now... Okay, put your hand up if you think drinking too much is wrong. Drinking at all is... I don't think that's wrong, but... Drinking, put your hand up if you are definitely sure that drinking too much is wrong. Okay, yes, alcohol, not water. So, who remembers the equation? Somebody shout out the equation. Normal equals right. So, what's normal in Scotland?
Beer.
So, is that right? No, but it is in Scotland. Yeah, somebody says yes. It is in Scotland. If you're 16 years old and you aren't drinking regularly in Scotland, then you are unusual and you are strange. Okay. Yes, Micah, like a ginger. Okay. I've got another example for you. I'm going to use my mom. I literally, every time I preach, I talk about my mom. Which is quite funny, but it just seems to happen. So my mom had never dated or kissed a guy until she was 23 years old. And she has only ever dated and kissed one man. Who wants to guess who that is? My father, you are correct. It's okay, it's so romantic. Who thinks it's kind of weird? Anybody? I know it's not. But if you say that to people, you've never kissed anybody and you're 22? Do you guys think, like, normally that's weird? Like, in your high school, would that be weird? Exactly. So the equation has been proved correct again. My equation is like genius. What's the equation? So what's normal? Kissing. Kissing everyone. Kissing and dating is normal. If by the time you're 16, or definitely 18 in high school, if you don't have any experience dating in North America, are you strange? Yes. Is that right? No. No, it's not. No, it is not. What my mum's choice and my mum's life path was actually an amazing one. And it really is. It's so unusual, it's actually shocking, even though it's what's right. Do you guys see how that's kind of like weird? So what's normal has become what's right. Okay, giving you two examples. Okay, so you guys, I've kind of like developed that point a little bit. So you guys think you understand that? Do you guys realize how stupid that is? Like, do you guys understand how stupid normal equals right is? It's completely accepted in society. It's what your high school basically runs by. It's like gravity for your high school. It's like the number one thing which governs everything to do with high school. Whatever everybody else is doing is right. You actually get people who are like 18 years old and they're like, I don't have any experience dating. And their thought process is, I'm different from everybody else. Something's wrong. I need to fix it. And they'll actually go out and try and find somebody just to say, I'm not different. How weird and messed up is that? So I'm going to tell you guys a ridiculous story, paint a picture, and the whole purpose of it is to show you how ridiculous normal equals right is, and how stupid it is, okay? You guys ready for that? Okay, so one day, next Sunday at youth, picture this in your mind. Actually, this will be really funny if you picture it, so please do. I shave off my eyebrows completely. Completely shave off. I actually only have one eyebrow, because it's a monobrow, which is unfortunate, but if I shave off my one eyebrow, and David Hines thinks, Dave, that looks really cool. You look really, really, really good. I'm going to do it too. So Dave Hines decides next week to shave off his eyebrow as well, or eyebrows, okay? And then it starts to become normal. John Hines is like, oh, my big brother, he's so cool, I need to do it too. So John Hines shaves off his eyebrows. And then Helena's like, these guys are so cool, I got to shave off my eyebrows too. And then it starts spreading, okay? And then it becomes completely normal. And we're a youth group of eyebrowless people, okay? So that's what becomes normal, okay? And then you picture next Sunday. So we're all like, what's normal is to shave off your eyebrows. Therefore, it's what's right, okay? So I wake up one morning, and I look at, and it's like, my eyebrow's growing back. And I like run, get the razor, like, no, gotta fix it. And then next week, a new person comes for like the first time in a while, and they've got massive eyebrows. Like I'm talking like slug on their face level eyebrow, like this big. Okay, and they come in, and everybody else is like, oh my goodness, what is that? That's disgusting. So these people are totally like, it's okay to have eyebrows. But these guys come in, and we're like, well, like you guys start talking, your group, my goodness, he's got eyebrows. That's so weird. Okay, so you guys get that picture, okay? You guys realize how stupid it is for what is normal and accepted to be right. Okay, you guys understand from that story just how stupid that is, okay? So I want you guys to take that idea and completely throw it out the window, because you guys are called to be different, you guys are called to be radical, and you guys are called to be going the complete opposite direction from almost everybody else around you, okay? You guys are still laughing by the eyebrow thing, you've got to stop. Okay, so what the world looks at, so people in your high school, they look at everybody else in your high school, they see what is normal. And this is their thought process. What is normal is what is right, so I'm going to conform to it, okay? That's why 50% of marriages end up in divorce. That's why there are so many of these wrong things in the world, because people look at what is normal and they take it to be right. That is why there are so many 25-year-old alcoholics. That's why there's so many single mums, 22 years old, because people have looked at what is normal and they've chosen to be like, that's right, and then they've conformed. But I want you guys to be different, and God wants you guys to be different. To look at what is normal in your school, saying, actually, that's not right, I'm going to choose not to conform, and instead, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Yeah. No, that doesn't mean that everything which is normal is not right. So what's normal in life? Getting it back to what I'm actually speaking about today. What am I speaking about today? The B word. Busy. Being too busy. Being busy in life is a normal thing. And so people assume that it's right and everybody conforms to it. Guys at the back, stop fooling around. It's okay. So, you guys, I'm calling you guys to be different. And God's calling you guys to be different. Sometimes people will actually say, they haven't seen a friend in a long time, and say, hey, how are you? And often the answer will be, oh, you know, I'm keeping myself busy, as if that's a good thing. It's like, what? Because everybody presumes that to be busy is a good thing. But I want to challenge that today, that what is normal isn't always what's right. And so I want you guys to start thinking in your mind, I don't want to grow up and have my life so busy that I don't have time for what matters. Okay? You guys okay with that? Does that make sense? Okay. Here is the ultimate point, and here's a really... here's another one of my intense statements, which if you actually realize what it means, you're going to be like, oh my goodness. Okay? The ultimate point. Being busy leaves you with no time for what matters. Therefore, depending on how busy you are, to that degree, you will go through your whole life lacking what matters. Is right. Okay? So, throw out some things which really matter in life. God, family, friends. Gonna leave food out of there. Family, God, friends. Those are three really good ones. If you guys live your life being chaotically busy, you will not have time for God, friends, or family. And you will grow up lacking depth of relationship with all three. Put your hand up if you want to lack depth of relationship with your friends, God, and your family. Therefore, put your hand up if you don't want to be busy. Or too busy. It's not bad to be busy. Too busy is bad. If we're looking at what matters, we want to set aside time for what matters, and we want to start making time for what matters in our life. Okay, here's a Sunday school answer. Who's the perfect person to look at to decide what matters? Jesus. Yes, that's right. Because Jesus had his priorities very, very, very right. Okay, we're going to look at some things which Jesus had time for. And I believe we might be on our first slide. So whoever's doing the slide, you can click. And I'll probably read that verse. Matthew 11:28. Okay. I heard a statement recently which really changed the way I thought about things. Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. So that's what Jesus said. So therefore, okay, whatever God, if you're living your Christian life, a Christian life should by nature be restful. Isn't that interesting? Okay, next slide. Jesus made time for the things which are important. Oh, hang on, not just, actually, change my mind, leave it there. Jesus made time for what matters. Do you have your Bibles? Who's got a Bible with them? Very few. Oh, you guys all, that's cool. Okay, get your Bibles out. Go to John 13:23. We don't actually have it up here, so don't bother with that. I'm going to read it out, and I'll give you guys a second to find it. So I'm going to pick out three things which Jesus made time for. Okay, food's... Well, he did make time for food, but yeah. Here's three things. Number one, deep relationships. Jesus made time for deep relationships. John 13:23 in the Message. I don't normally quote the Message, but this is really, really, really cool. Guys, listen up. One of the disciples, the one Jesus loved dearly, was reclining against him, his head on his shoulder. So the Gospel of John, like the fourth book in the New Testament, is one of the funniest books in the Bible. Because John, all the way through, refers to this mysterious person as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who do you guys think he's talking about? Himself. He's talking about himself. So he basically refers to himself all the way through the book that he writes as the disciple Jesus loved. And this verse says that John actually went up to Jesus and laid his head on, whatever this is called, here. On his chest. So he actually laid his head on his chest. That's how close Jesus was with John. Jesus made time for that. He made time for John, and he made time for people to really connect with him on a deep level. Now you guys might think, oh, that's Jesus. Obviously he's going to have time for things like that. But I want to put it to you that if anybody has an excuse to be too busy, it's the Savior of the world. You know? The one who's tasked with saving all mankind from eternal damnation, he's probably the one who's going to be most busy. So if Jesus made time for these things, then we definitely can. Second thing Jesus made time for is rest. Matthew 9:10. Matthew 9:10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Another translation of that says, like, Jesus was reclining at the table with them. And I basically, in modern day translation, that basically means Jesus was chilling out at the table with his friends. Jesus actually had time, even though there were thousands of people following him around, to eat dinner with the ones who he loved. He had time to just chill out and have rest. And the last example, Jesus had time for God. Jesus had time for his Father. Do you guys know that Jesus' relationship with God is exactly the same that you're called to have with God? Which is pretty intense. Mark 1:35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So basically, he got up and he went off and had God time, had time with his dad. So if Jesus can make time for these things, deep relationships, rest, and God, do you think you guys are up for prioritizing those in your life? Anybody? Yeah? So to do that, we need to do something. And this is a really intense statement. So Jesus is so busy. He could have been so busy, but he said no to too much busyness and yes to that which matters. And that's exactly what I'm calling you guys to do today. And if you guys are living a busy life right now and you're living in the culture which is so busy, there's something which you need to do. You need to declare war on busyness. Declare war on hurry. And to do that, so that's pretty intense. That basically, you recognize that in your life, most people are really, really, really busy. And to say no to that, you need to actually declare war on busyness and say, I'm going to fight busyness so that I don't lose time for that which matters. Okay? Okay, we can click on the next one. So the first thing you need to do to declare war on busyness and make time for what matters in your life is actually to say yes to the unhealthiness of your pace. So who knows what denial is? I always say he's in denial. That basically means people aren't coming to terms with a fact. So if you guys put your hand up, if you put your hand up at the beginning to say my life is busy. So you need to be honest with yourself and with God. If your life is too busy, then you need to be honest with that and you just need to accept that and be like, commit your heart to changing it. Okay? Well, burp, sorry. I'm actually going to call you guys to do that today. Okay? So at the end, when we do ministry time, that's one of the things I want you guys to do. If you feel like God is calling you to, I want you to get up and say, yes, God, my life is too busy. And then invite him to come and change it. Second thing that you need to do is you need to say yes to drawing closer to God's values. Put your hand up if you think you know something which God values. Love, good one. Family, definitely massive one. I don't understand that as much as I wish I did. God values love. Ephesians 3:17 to 19. Hopefully that's up here. So I want everybody to cast your eyes upon the screen and read this verse. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never be able to fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So God is interested in you being filled with his love. And you today, if you want to, need to make a conscious decision to draw closer to that and say yes to that. And you guys are maybe in this place, like Lizzie was describing, where you know God's love. But I want you guys to make a conscious decision to step out the boat with that. Say, God, I know you love me, but I want to know it more, and I'm not okay with where I'm at, okay? Another thing that God values depth. I'm going to go through these quickly. Next verse. So this is Paul speaking to some of the people who preached the gospel to. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. God values that you have depth of relationship with the people that you know. I didn't even have time to send my mom a birthday present, but I want to change things with my mom. My relationship with my mom is getting so much better recently, but I want it to keep getting better, and with my dad too, with my brother. And God values depth of relationship with you and him and with those around you. So today, you can make a decision to say, hey, God, I value what you value, and I want to say yes to deeper relationships with the people around me. And that's something where you could take a practical step. You could say, like, when was the last time I emailed my mom? Or when was the last time I did something nice for my mom? And you could make a decision, because of God's love for you and what he values, to actually change that and do something about it. Last thing, God values rest. This is a really incredible verse, which I'd never seen before, but go for it. So this is God speaking to his people in the Old Testament. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and running there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. So that's what the Sabbath is all about. So God values rest. If you take time in your life to say no to the busyness of normal day life and yes to just experiencing God, then that will completely transform your life. And all three things which I've just called you to today are the world would say to you, yeah, those are important, but they wouldn't prioritize them in the same level that I am. So what I'm preaching to you guys today is a call to be completely different from everybody else around you. And it's totally up to you guys if you want to say yes. The final thing that you need to do is say yes to what's really important. Psalm 46, verse 10. Everybody knows this verse. Finish my sentence for me. Be still and... Yep. In one of the big translations of the Bible, and this is like SWM students and everybody, this is so cool. Cease striving and know that I am God. That's in the NASB. That's such a good translation of that verse. God is calling you to make time for what really matters in life. And that means that you need to say no to what doesn't matter. So cease striving and know that I am God.